for our listeners listening back to this, we are upstairs in Pastor's Green, London, in the Whitehorse Pub, and we've just enjoyed three great games of bingo and some great calling by Graham and I.
Yeah.
Questionable. And we've got a great audience, live audience here tonight. Come on. Yes. And our theme of this evening, sticking with the bingo theme, is finding true love a lottery?
Ooh.
Which is a really good question. I've been bouncing that off a lot of people. But we've invited a friend of the show back to help us with this question.
A true friend of the show.
Hi.
Lil Milligan. Thank you so much.
Give her a clap.
So, to kick us off, Lil, in your opinion, for the generation of sort of 20s, early 30s, how important is finding true love?
Well, I'm no sociologist, so I would like to get a bit of a gauge from the room. So on the basis of volume, how much do you guys think that finding true love is important? So super loud is obviously very important, super quiet, not so much. So maybe
I like that. Turned it back
really
on the
good.
Audience.
Yeah. A bit of audience participation.
Okay. Who's going to go first?
Should I count down? Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Whoa! Okay. Yeah. How do we gauge that?
I take the slight pause as like a slight awkwardness. This is quite a deep topic, right? So I feel like people might feel a bit vulnerable, but it's okay, guys. We're in safe company. We're all friends here. But anyway, I haven't answered the question, have I?
You slightly dodged it, but would you say it's quite an important thing for our generation?
I do think it's very important for our generation. And I think it's something that's been encouraged by who you want to be and the boxes you want to tick, which means that love has become something perhaps that it shouldn't necessarily be. So we are all familiar with the sunsets and the Disney films and the dopamine effect of what love is. So I think that's what our generation is looking for, that sunset, going into the distance. And I think that's what really gets us going.
Okay. How, without making us vomit, how would you...
Ideally.
What do you think people mean by true love?
Yeah, I think that's what they want. I think people want that thrill forever. I think when people want true love, they want to fall in love and they want to be excited to come home to that person. They're thrilled and excited all the time. But I don't think that's what true love is, in my humble opinion.
Do you think anyone does?
Think that's what true love is? I think that's what we're aiming for.
Okay.
I think that's what people expect love to be, but I think a lot of people are disappointed. So I think people get to the point when they've had the honeymoon period, and then after that, it's actually kind of annoying now. But for me, true love is being known. Right, which this is where we get deep.
Okay, let's go deep. No, this is great. Being known, explain what you mean by that.
So rather than someone giving you that kick that you want from the third, fourth, fifth date, it's the person who's going to love you and going to accept you when they see you messy, when they see you vulnerable, and you're still hugged by them, you're still called by them, and they're still wanting to meet up with you, even though you're actually a bit of a disgrace. So that's what I think
is true love
is. And I don't think that's always necessarily found in a romantic relationship. And that's the lie I think we're sold as a generation, is that it's only found in a romantic partner.
Okay, so just to recap so far, that is pretty important, finding true love. We've got a mirage on the sunset of going off into the distance and just living in utopia.
The Disney version,
but we all know that's a bit fake. And what you're saying is true love is actually someone knowing the real you and still accepting you.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm happy with that.
Good. In the modern world, we've got, we've got apps, we've got smartphones, we've got constant access to dating apps and all that kind of stuff. Can we just trust algorithms? Can we trust AI to find us true love? Is it just as easy as that?
I could eat my words in like 10 years' time when actually there is an algorithm found, but like, no, surely not, because someone would be making a lot of money off this if it was just down to algorithms. And please reference the other podcast, whenever it was, episode 28, which I don't think it was episode 28.
No, it wasn't.
We talked about that at length, didn't we? I think it's nonsense.
There we go. Let's move on. Nonsense. Okay, so divorce rates are pretty high. In London, one in two marriages end in divorce. That's quite high, isn't it? It's been like that for quite a while, and they're going up. So does that prove that love is a bit of a lottery, in your opinion?
Does it prove that love is a lottery? I think what it proves is potentially that the expectations are misaligned. So I heard an analogy recently, which I thought was helpful, is that sometimes people expect love, romantic love, to be a bit like you've got to have a sufficient amount to last you throughout your life. So you've got to be at the height of your love on your wedding day, for instance.
Okay.
And that's what's going to last you throughout your life.
We love weddings.
Yeah, we do. Absolutely. Again, like that's the Instagram post. Those are the flowers, the decoration, whatever. And I think that's what people think, is that you've got to have a sufficient amount of, in the tank to get you through the entirety of your life.
Yeah.
So if you get to the age of, you've married at the age of 25, brilliant, beautiful pictures, la la la. You get to the age of 45 and you know what? The tank is running out. You know, if that's your expectation, that you start off with a certain tank and then it runs out, then that says a lot about what you expect true love to actually be. That's huge generalization, obviously.
Okay.
So, of course, there's a huge amount of
but
other...
But then you get things like, oh, we just kind of fell out of love.
Yeah.
By the time we were 50.
Yeah, and that happens, and that's really sad. I've never been on the receiving end of that, and I hope I never am, and that's awful. But what I do know from having spoken about love with married couples who, again, you know, they start with a tank, right? They start with enough to realize that they love that person, but then it builds, right? So it's, again, it's kind of getting to know that person. It's being known by them, and you can come to that person completely vulnerable, completely weak, and you've done something wrong or whatever it might be, and you're still accepted and you're still loved by that person. And I think that's perhaps what gets people to the end. I don't know. I mean, you guys are married. What would yours
be? Yeah, I like that. I think I agree with you that you'd run pretty dry if, and I think you're right, expectations are quite high of your wedding day, but you'd run pretty dry pretty quickly if you're thinking that's going to carry me through 60 years of marriage, when actually what you're saying is quite true. The reality is this person's going to know me deeply like no one else on this planet. They're going to see all my worst bits. How are they going to respond to that? And how am I going to respond when I see that in the other person is absolutely key. I completely agree with that. In that sense, you're kind of running on dry from almost like day five, probably, is reality. It's like you're on your honeymoon and you sat
depends
there.
Depends how long, yeah. How long was your honeymoon?
You're like, just generalizing.
Day three was rubbish. Day five was awful. But I think it comes down to your expectations and your definition of true love. I think if you are looking at that Disney version of true love and saying it has to be that electricity, that spark the entire time, the first moment you realize you were in love, it's going to be that feeling forever. Well, that's just... one, it's unrealistic, and two, that isn't what it is, right?
Yeah, and I think we were saying just before this as well, like, you know, you guys are married, and as someone who isn't married, it's then also to say that someone who isn't married can't experience something like true love. And I think the times that I've been a receiving end of true love has been from my family, my friends, who, when I've been a pain in the... And they still call in the morning when they know I'm having a rough time. And they still listen to me complain about my job. And they're still there. And they choose to love me because they know me. And that's really wonderful. And I also know that, you know, I guess linking back to the divorce rate stuff, you know, people can be married and love their husbands or wives, but perhaps be lonely and not have very many friends. And for someone who's experienced friendship in such a wonderful way, that's, for me, it's like totally, that's totally addictive, that's totally brilliant, that's totally real and long lasting, much more so than something like dopamine.
Got you.
So I think we can kind of pull on that thread a little bit, because there is an underlying premise in the question we've asked you, which is finding true love a lottery? And that is that in some sense we're all looking to find that version of true love. And do you think that's true? Do you think that's appropriate? Should we be all looking for that, or is there something else?
Do you think we all should be looking for romantic love as our true love?
Well, yeah, sure. Like, if you want to have that, that's a great thing to pursue and want, but just not at the expense of perhaps the lottery you've already won.
Ooh.
If you already have excellent friends around you, if your mum is brilliant, your dad's brilliant, your aunt, uncle, you know, whoever is in your life that already knows you and adores you, you've already won. Just cash in the ticket. Ooh. Get on with it. Yeah.
I love that. Okay, so by your definition of true love is like people knowing you and accepting you you might already have that, and then you're kind of setting off into the distance in the sunset thinking, oh, that's true love. And it's not, it's a mirage. And then you leave behind the people that do actually love you, potentially.
Yeah, potentially. And like, okay. Of course, you know, when you choose to marry someone, that is a real binding contract, as it were. So that does in some ways have something more committal alongside something like friendship. And I don't want to be just try and say that friendship is the same as living day in, day out with your husband that you plan to do for the rest of your life. But I don't want us as a generation to think that that's the only form of true love and it's the only worthy form of true love, because that's nonsense and that's not fair.
So let's summarise. What sort of love are we looking for? Just can you just summarise that for people? What are we looking for?
I think the love that we're looking for is a trusted, known, consistent, dependable, raw, open, candid, I can call you any time of night kind of love. And that can be romantic, that can be familial, that can be platonic, that can be whatever.
So I think it's interesting that I made this assumption as well when we started with this episode. I just assumed we were talking romantic love. You said true love.
Okay.
I think it's interesting that we're now into, well, that's one type, and that would be, you know, that can be great, but there's lots of other types, and you know, that could consist of true love. That could be exactly what we mean.
But what I love is, what I love about Lil's twist is it could be a lottery in terms of the throw of the dice that you're thinking, oh, romantic love or this person will definitely come good for me. It could be a bit of a throw of the dice. By divorce rates, it proves to be so as well if your expectations are wrong. But you're saying there are some kind of slam dunk, probably for all of us, some like relationships that you really could know this sort of love that you're talking about. Whereas just thinking that it's romantic can become a bit high stakes and might leave you high and dry.
Yeah, and I guess from any of the relationships we have in our lives, whether they're romantic, family, friends, you will get disappointed, right? There'll be that cancellation. There'll be that, again, misaligned expectations. I thought you were going to scratch my back and you've let me down, blah, blah, blah. And I think in marriage, that's where it's perhaps really highlighted, because divorce rates are high, adultery is high, people are looking for the other shiny thing if their husband or wife isn't satisfying them at home or whatever it might be. So there is something to be said for how people do let you down.
Yeah.
And that's to be expected as well.
So what would you say to someone looking for this sort of true love that you're saying, open, candid, accepting you, you know, who you are, bringing night on day? Like, where do you find that sort of love?
I mean, that is a lottery as well, right? Like, I think the biggest lottery in your life is probably who your parents are.
Really?
Let alone, like, your romantic loves. Because you do have a bit of element of control over that, right?
Control over your parents.
You don't have any control of your parents. But I think surround yourself by good quality people. I mean, for me, where I find excellent quality people was, you know, my family, for instance, but also like the relationships that I have at my church, which is obviously, Jack, where you go as well.
That's how we know each other.
And
am I part of that excellent group?
Jack, don't be needy.
Okay. Am I giving you that?
Yes, Jack. Yeah. Part of that group.
Okay, anyway. Yes, that's how we know each other. It's brilliant.
Yeah. And I think the baseline that we have at church is the kind of love that we have an example of in Jesus. And he knows us completely intimately, more than any human relationship can on this earth. And when you come to church with that foundation, you can come without even introducing yourself to people and know that you're going to be empathized with, understood. And that's such an amazing foundation for just even finding that initial kind of steps of connection and being able to know someone. And that's something that I've experienced over the years I've been at church. And actually, quite frankly, take for granted. You know, there's a lot of loneliness in this world, right? And again, I think coming back to the expectation of romantic love, we only look to romantic love because we think that's where the only place you can find connection. You're like, well, whatever happened to the village? Whatever happened to the community? And what brings you together, certainly at the church that I go to, and is the case across London and the UK and the world, is that example of Jesus, and knowing that he knows and accepts you at your worst and still loves you. That's pretty powerful.
It's interesting, because where else do you find that sort of community and love? I went to CrossFit recently.
Oh, wow. Oh, Jack. How did that go?
I would say It was a slightly humiliating experience, but it was interesting. It's tight. I mean, oh my goodness, like the community at CrossFit is like, we train together 7 times a week for 2 hours a day. But it was kind of dependent on performance, reps. Jack, like, I was trying to lift the barbell. I didn't know how I was doing it. And I thought what you're saying is the sort of friendships that are not even dependent on any sort of performance, which I know to be true. It's just so freeing to have that as the kind of bedrock of the community. It's not like, oh, if you come to training 7 times a week and if da, da, da. Could you just share with maybe the audience and people listening back how you've known, just a few examples of how you've known that sort of love to be true in your church community?
Yeah, plenty of times. I mean, just they all, in some ways, I was talking about this with someone at work earlier, actually, about a lot of the love that I understand to be very true from family, friends, and at church as well. It's in the unremarkable. And I think this is true of romantic love as well, right? It's in the small gestures. It's in the, do you want to come round for lunch? It's in the, credit Tessa, who helped organise this evening. I used to live with Tessa, and if I was upset, and I'm normally like an oversharer, case in point this evening, right? And I would come home and often I would be like, you know, whine about my day or whatever. If I was really quite upset, I wouldn't say anything. And Tess would be like, she'd be like, how's your day? And I'd be like, yeah, it's fine. And she'd be like, yeah, I'm really quite unpersuaded by that. Can you just tell me? But instead of like...
That's a good impression.
Instead of her, like, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I'll let her come to me and I'll let her. She pushed it. She was like, nah. You know, and I guess the subtext, I'm putting words in her mouth, but she's like, I love you and I know you're not okay. Talk to me about it. Even if she's not aiming to fix me at the end of it, it's just that, as I said, just being known, just being accepted and love being that. Like, I'm going to rant at you and I don't expect anything else. And thank you for ranting at me. Thank you, Tessa, for letting me rant at you for all these years.
Yeah. Brilliant. Should we try and land the plane?
We should try and land the plane. I've got one. Can I use my one free question?
Yeah, you can use your one free question.
I think I get one of these each episode. I was just going to say, I know we haven't planned this one, so feel free to just pull the ripcord if you don't want to.
okay.
If you could go back and speak to your 16, 17-year-old self and just say, here's how to think about this.
Oh.
What would you say?
What were you like when you were 16, first of all?
It was a legend, Jack. What do you think?
Obviously.
Absolutely legend.
Weirdly enough, I think in my late teens, I had bold aspirations of, you know, living kind of a very bold life that didn't look like the kind of classic family job scenario. And I remember someone saying to me, this is what you'll probably do in your life. You'll get a job doing this. You'll get married at this age. You'll have X amount of kids and stuff, which is obviously wonderful and great. And that would be wonderful if that happened to me. But I remember thinking, oh gosh, that sounds so boring. And it was only over the years that I started getting sucked into wanting to, like, that being my be all and end all. And it's only until recently I thought, no, realign yourself. So I feel like at that age, you think I'm going to change the world and all that kind of stuff. But actually, if anything, it's life kicks in and expectations kick in. And especially when you get to a certain age and you want to tick certain boxes, that's when you have to think, wait, is the pressure coming from society? Is it coming from me? Like, where is this actually coming from? Where is my self-worth? Where is my identity? Yeah, that's a really, like, quite powerful mirror. I haven't answered your question at all.
No, you have. Yeah. You're saying it's not an issue when you're 16, but by the time you're 29, then somehow all this expectations kind of landed on you. I think that's a good answer.
Great answer.
Okay, in summary, Lil Milligan, is finding true love a lottery?
I don't think so. It's obviously a lottery. The people that end up in your life, that is, by and large, for the sake of this evening, that's a lottery.
Okay.
But I do think all of the relationships that you have, that requires work. And that comes from you, and that comes from the people around you. And that's within your control to want to be that person for other people and to look for people who'll give that to you as well. Mm.
And the work is being known and knowing someone.
And loving them.
And then loving them.
Yeah.
And that is a verb. You've got to do that loving.
Love is a doing word.
Love is the doing word, people. Okay, that is a great... Can we land it on that?
Let's land it on that. That's
okay, round of applause for Lil Milligan!